Kids group, teen kids. Amen. Hey, all right. Outstanding. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. If you want to follow along a little bit before we get to Genesis, I'm reading out of Psalm chapter 92, beginning in verse 1. I'll read it through verse 6. Psalm 92, beginning in verse 1 and taking it through verse 6. Psalm 92, verse 1. The Word of God reads this: "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." And notice verse 6. "A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this." Amen? Well, y'all can sit back down for a sec. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Yes? Amen, girl. Going through a lot. Jesus is with you, man. Amen, girl. Amen. Yes, Bobby? All right. Amen. That's good. What are you thankful for, Vince? Thankful. Amen. Yeah, brother. That's good. What else? Thankful. Yeah, man.
I'm thankful that to be an atheist for 47 years back.
Yeah, there you go. Up here, yes, ma'am. All of his promises. That's good. Yes, over here, ladies. Amen. Amen. Unfailing love for us all. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Health. All right. Well, another passage we're going to read tonight is in Isaiah, or Isaiah, some of you say. Isaiah. You'll turn there. Isaiah chapter 9. We'll just read two verses of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. Isaiah 9, not too many pages over from that psalm, a little bit. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. Have you found it? The Word of God reads this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amen? So what are we doing here? We've gone from thanksgiving, and now we've transitioned into what? Christmas. Yeah. Christmas, amen. It's kind of a whiplash time of year, isn't it? I mean, it's turkeys, and then whoosh, it's trees. Amen? From turkey to trees. Trees to turkey. I mean, it's just real quick. Amen? All right. Well, we're thankful for Jesus, right? Well, let's take our Bibles again and get into our passage for tonight, and stand with me if you can. Genesis chapter 46, beginning in verse 31, and we'll take it through verse 34 this evening. Genesis 46, 31 through 34. We'll finish up 46 tonight. Genesis chapter 46, beginning in verse 31. If you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
Word of God reads this, "And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his fathers and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for the special time of the year it is. A time that, Lord, we pass by Thanksgiving holidays. Lord, not that we quit thanking you by no means. But Lord, we pass by this one, and Lord, we're quickly approaching Christmas and the celebration of your first Advent. And Lord, there will be Santa Claus mixed in with that, and holiday parties, which we know those to be Christmas parties, and all kinds of different politically correct stuff. Lord, I pray as we have elected a new president, Lord, I pray Christmas would come back into the vocabulary. Lord, that we would be not ashamed that this country was founded on Christian principles, founded on the Ten Commandments, founded on the Word of God, founded on the laws of God, founded on the Bible. Our first president was an unashamed Christian and follower of Christ. Lord, I pray we'd get back to our roots this Christmas. Lord, help us stand strong for the cause of Christ in the next several weeks leading up to Christmas. And Lord, as always, I pray for those that struggle during this time, those that have gone through loss, those that are grieving, those that are expecting loss this Christmas season. Lord, I pray that you comfort them in a special way. And Lord, may they find themselves in the midst of other believers. May they find themselves on their knees praying. May they find themselves in the Word of God seeking comfort and encouragement. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be in your Word tonight. Speak through us. And may we be the separate people you've called us to be. In your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Joseph was now going to do what? Well, been a lot going under the bridge, been a lot of transition take place. Now Joseph is going to arrange for his brothers to settle in Egypt. The wagons and the horses and the donkeys and everything have gone to get them. They brought them all back, and here we are getting ready to transition to the home site, to the homestead, so to speak, for quite a long time for this chosen people of God. The matter of settlement was of great importance because where the family settled would have a lasting influence on them. And I hope you can relate to that this evening. You can hopefully relate. Where are you living? Where are you living, so to speak? Think about that for just a moment. Are you where God wants you? Or some other place that you have no business being at? Well, Pastor, are you speaking metaphorically? Perhaps, maybe to you. I may be, right? This patriarch and his family needed to be situated, Jacob I'm talking about, needed to be situated and settled so that although they were in Egypt, they would not be of Egypt. That makes sense to everybody, doesn't it? Amen? That's where we need to be. See, we're in this mess, and it's a great country, by the way, but we're in it, but we ought not be of it. Amen? We better seek the Lord as to where we live. We better seek the Lord as to where we work. We better seek the Lord as to where we recreate and how we recreate, where we rest and how we rest, where we go to school when we get out of school and go on off to college, for those that are getting ready to do that in a few years. But we better ask the Lord. We better pray that through, because the implications of those decisions can be disastrous for our own spiritual well-being. I was talking to my middle daughter, Olivia, and we were coming back from the doctor's office today. This makes the fifth time she's had strep throat this year. And so she's trying to catch up with her younger sister, Lillian. And so we were talking about, we'd gone in and dropped off her prescription, and so we're waiting on it. Dr. Carr wants her to get two doses. I don't have to pay for saying Dr. Carr's name, do I? I hope not. You ought to have to pay. But you didn't say it, I did. So Dr. Carr wanted her to get two doses in today so that she could go to school tomorrow, which made me a happy dad that she's going to go to school tomorrow. She didn't go to school today. So anyway, we dropped off the prescription and get some groceries. You know, I mean, hey, make best use of your time. Get some groceries while that's being filled, you know, and hopefully they get it done when they say they're going to get it done. And, you know, just go, 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 run, run, run. So anyway, we're getting out to the car, and we're talking about, I don't know how it came up, but we're talking about her science class and how the science teacher is teaching them that creation came about in the form of a big bang. And I said, that is correct. Jesus spoke, and it was a bang. He said, Lord, let there be, and there was. And I'm sure it was quite loud when it all came into being, right? And she goes, well, yeah, Dad, but science teaches that there are other theories and other things behind. I said, well, what theories? But I'm talking to you about truth. Yeah. And they're so impressionable at that junior high age. And I said, Olivia, I go, let me make one thing clear to you, sister. If public school is going to rob you of your faith or weaken your faith, I go, guess where you're going to school? You'd be at New Hope Christian Academy. Well, Daddy, it's not. I know what I believe. Well, you better stand for what you believe. You better stand for it, right? Don't let them pull you down. You try to sow the word in that class. Well, her and another little Christian friend, they try to stand for some biblical principles. Amen. Very, very important, man, that we pray through where we're at. Amen? That we're where God wants us to be. Amen? Now, let me tell you something. If we seek and stay in the will of God, if we walk on our knees, if we're in the Word of God, if we're praying it through and we stay and we seek the will of God, then those decisions on where we end up, where we work, what we do, where we live, all of these things, those decisions can be a blessing and even bring salvation to those, amen, that the Lord has planted us in, right? The people groups and the spheres of influence and the workplaces that we find ourselves in, we can sow some seeds of salvation there, amen, if we be in the will of God, amen? All right. Well, two things about this passage. That's kind of an introduction or chasing around a rabbit here, but when we talk about Genesis 46, verses 31 through 34, two points here we want to look at. The first one is this. First, we see Joseph as the successful mediator. The successful mediator, right? Verses 31 and 32, and Joseph said unto his brethren, unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are coming to me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade have been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. Joseph was not ashamed to call these men brothers. His brethren, that's who they are. Just as our Lord first ascended into heaven and appeared in the presence of God for us, advocating our best interests, so Joseph did for his brothers in Egypt. Joseph's intention was to prepare Pharaoh for the meeting with his brothers. We're going to see that when we get into 47. He's preparing Pharaoh for the meeting with his brothers in the same way he prepares his brothers for the meeting with Pharaoh. You say, there's got to be some preparation here, Pastor? I mean, you just can't bring Pharaoh and the brothers together? Well, you think this through. The distance between a presupposed divine Pharaoh. Remember, the Egyptians worship Pharaoh as what? He's God, man. I mean, Pharaoh is God. The distance between a presupposed divine Pharaoh, I'm not saying he's divine, I'm saying the Egyptians thought he was divine. The distance between that and a rough and ready herdsman who worshiped the one true God, I want to tell you that's a pretty big gulf to span. Joseph had to rise to the occasion to bridge that great gulf. And praise God, he did bridge that great gulf. Amen? Joseph is known as Joseph, and he's known as Zaphnath-Paneah. As Joseph, he was born and brought up in the family of Jacob, this great patriarch, in the land of Canaan, the promised land. He was one with them. He knew their way of life. He had been a shepherd, a herdsman himself. He knew their natures. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses, their needs, and therefore he could put one hand on them, his brothers and his father and his family. As Zaphnath-Paneah, how did he get that name? Pharaoh gave him that name. As Zaphnath-Paneah, he was seated at the right hand of Pharaoh. He was at home amid the pomp and splendor of the court. He was a student of people, Joseph was, and he knew. He knew what Pharaoh thought. And he knew how Pharaoh understood situations. And therefore, he could place his other hand upon Pharaoh. One hand on Pharaoh and one hand on his brothers and on his father. Joseph was the perfect mediator. When I say perfect, I don't mean sinless, because there's just one, that's Jesus. But he's perfect in the sense of the situation, of the circumstance. Without Joseph, the brothers would have had no access to that throne, no means of approach, and no hope of making a successful appeal to Pharaoh at all. Without Joseph, the brothers had nothing. But with him, they had everything. You can see the great, hopefully you can, you can see the great and direct parallel between Joseph and his brothers and us and our mediator. Who's that? Jesus Christ, right? Yeah, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, both God, both man, both human, both divine, the Lord Jesus brings us to the throne and negotiates for us in the way we never could. Oh, we're covered by the blood. Jesus speaks on our behalf. This one's mine, Lord. This one's mine. He's received me as Lord and Savior. Isn't that great? Amen? Secondly, this evening, first we see Joseph as the successful mediator, but secondly and finally this evening, we see Joseph as the successful minister. The successful minister, 33 and 34. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth. Even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Sounds kind of harsh. Sounds like he's putting them down. He's not putting them down at all. He's trying to protect them. Joseph began by explaining to his brothers something of his work at Pharaoh's right hand and explained his position's practical significance to them. They must, the brothers, cooperate with him, Joseph. They must cooperate. There could be no self-seeking on their part. There could be no independent action on their part. They must do exactly as he told them. This is what you're going to say when you get in front of him. Say this and do this. Joseph knew far better than they what pitfalls lay ahead of them in Egypt. What does Egypt represent? The world, paganism. It's rough. He could see things they could not see. And his wisdom, Joseph's wisdom, was far greater than theirs when it came to the land of Egypt. Joseph was their mediator before the throne so that he might be their minister in their daily lives. Again, you see the parallel, don't you? Between Joseph and his brothers and Jesus and us. It's inescapable. Amen? When I say the scarlet thread of redemption runs through the entire Bible, when I say Jesus shows up on every page, do you get it here? Yeah, you get it, don't you? Right? Two things about this second point. We see Joseph as a successful minister. Number one, we see Joseph's plain instruction. His plain instruction. This is it, boys. The brothers were to confess to Pharaoh and his court that they had a shepherd character. They were shepherds. That was their bent. That was their trade. This is what they do. We're shepherds. It's who they are. Don't be ashamed of it. Just tell him that's what you are. See, unlike the Egyptians, who were settled, an agricultural people, shepherds were a nomadic, migratory people, ever on the move, never sending their roots down deeply into any one spot. I mean, you eat the grass and the resources where you're at, and you pull up tents, you pull up residence, and you move to another several thousand acres of land. And you do the same thing. And then you move to another. And then you come back to this one you just left. I mean, you're all the time on the move. As the seasons, the water, as the sun, as it replenishes the ground, you come back to it, but they're always on the move. They never put down deep roots. Unless the brothers hold on to their shepherd character, unless they hold on to their pilgrim character, on the move character, all will be lost for them because they cannot spiritually assimilate with this pagan people. It would be disastrous for the cause of Christ. You see that? See, the Lord would also have us be pilgrims, right? And strangers on the earth, right? So as to stand before the throne above one day. Friend, we're just passing through. Amen? Well, that's the way we've got to look at this thing with the big picture. We're just passing through. We see Joseph's plain instruction, but secondly and finally tonight, when we think about how Joseph was a successful minister to his brothers, we see Joseph's plain intention. Verse 34b, that they may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. He's very plain about that, isn't he? He knows what he's doing here, Joseph does. Joseph wanted to keep a clear line of demarcation between the chosen family and the pagan Egyptians. Do you get that? Goshen would secure their separation from Egypt, even though they must live in the land. Goshen was on the Canaan side of Egypt. So settling there would make leaving there that much easier for them when the time came to be on the Canaan side of Egypt. This verse 34b tells us that the Egyptians despised herdsmen, despised cattlemen, despised shepherds. Animal husbandry was one of the seven castes. Everybody knows what a caste is? It's not like what you wear on your arm or your leg. A caste is a guild. You know what a guild is, right? That's a trade. You know what a job is? There were seven different kinds of jobs in Egypt. Does that make sense? A caste, a guild, a trade, a job. We got there. Amen? There's seven different kinds going on here into which the Egyptians were divided. Okay? This bottom rung of their socioeconomic scale was the shepherd. That was the bottom. That was the seventh. I mean, they were an oppressed people, an Egyptian shepherd. It didn't matter if you're a Jewish shepherd, a Hebrew shepherd, a shepherd from Canaan. We don't like any of the shepherds, even the Egyptian shepherds. This bottom rung of their socioeconomic scale was held in such contempt by the other six castes or guilds or jobs that keepers of animals, if you were an animal husbandry, if you were a herdsman, a shepherd, you were not allowed to enter their pagan temples. Oh no, you can't come in here. And you couldn't marry outside of your caste, your guild, your trade, your job. See, Joseph's intention, therefore, in insisting that his brothers confess their shepherd character was obvious. He did not want them to get involved with the Egyptians either in the matter of worship or in marriage. That's beautiful, isn't it? He knew what he was doing. Spiritually and socially, they were to be separated from the Egyptians. They were to be in Egypt, but not what? Of Egypt. That's right. Joseph's concern illustrates what the Lord expects of His people in the world today. The world's attractions are not what? They're not for us. Not for us. The world's religious systems, you know, the old demonic, the devil, he's all for religion. Did you know that? Oh man, he is for religion. But God is for your righteousness. He's for your salvation. The world's attractions are not for us, and the world's religious systems are anathema to us. Does anybody know what anathema means? It means cursed. When we think of Islam, we ought to think of a cursed people. When we think of Jehovah's Witnesses, even though they want to throw around some religious language that you think you both have in common, we ought to think of that as cursed. When we think of people that we know, and there's quite a few of them in Tomball that follow Mormonism or part of the Church of Latter-day Saints, we ought to think of them as a cursed people in a cursed system, going to be a cursed individual in hell one day if they don't find Christ and get saved. But they're good people, and they really take care of their responsibility, and they work hard, and they're family folks. They're cursed. It's cursed. Right? Yeah, right. Not a big amen on that one, see. Because we all know folks like that. Right? This world's attractions are not for us. The world's religious systems are anathema, are to be cursed in our minds. Amen? The world is not our home. We're just passing through. Passing on through, brother. Amen. So how can I be thankful? How can I be celebratory for this Prince of Peace that has come? Friend, be thankful. Be celebratory. Celebrate. There's something better for us, man. There's something better for us. It's kind of like keeping your fork. Don't let that fork get picked up. Don't let that fork go. That dessert's coming. Amen. They take your fork. What are you going to do? You got to have a fork, man. That's what this is about. Something better's coming for us. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to pray us out, and then we're going to do a little bit something different here for prayer time. But let's have a word of prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can be in your Word tonight. Lord, thank you for the truth of your Word. Thank you that Jesus shows up. Oh, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He's all over this thing. And Lord, help us just celebrate that. Help us internalize that. And Lord, I pray this truth would just swell up in us and affect everything about us and how we make decisions. Lord, we're in this place, but we're not of it. Our citizenship is in another place called heaven. We're thankful for that tonight, Lord. Be with us as we go through this time of prayer. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. All right, let's see here. Ronnie Vack, if you'll come.